Hey guys, and welcome to the Family Business Indaba podcast.
We are the voice of African family business, promoting generational wealth and generational legacies.
And my name is Susan Tendi.
And I am Nikia Amani.
And we're going to be taking you through the journey of African family business. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, ladies.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I think I'm going to let you introduce yourself and get on with your presentation.
Okay, great. So my name is Anne Geisa. I'm the founder and CEO of Regal Africa Group. And what we do at Regal Africa is we offer advisory services, which happens to be one of them is wealth management. So I'm very passionate about wealth creation for all and Africa economic development. And so that is the work that we do at Regal Africa. And basically we focus on people who are looking to create wealth through businesses. So family business is very important because 75% of all businesses in Africa are family businesses. And we've been in business since 2015 when I started Regal Africa, but I've been in financial services for the last 15 years since 2004. So I'm excited to be here and thank you for having me.
Thank you.
You are most welcome. You want us to go straight into your questions?
Well, I think we could just sort of have an overview about what Regal Africa has done. I've just done a short presentation, so I'll go through that and then I can be able to answer all the questions that people might have.
Okay.
All right. Is that okay?
That's 100%. Please go ahead.
Okay, great. So as I mentioned earlier, Regal Africa Wealth Management. So we offer private wealth management specifically for wealthy individuals and families, which includes entrepreneurs, business owners, single and family offices, executives, and next generation inherited wealth. So that is really our focus. So what we do as wealth architects, we basically offer our expertise in understanding wealth and help our clients to be able to plan, grow, and manage their wealth. So for us, we provide a global thinking, but really informed by deep local insights. So we're focused right here in Nairobi, in Kenya, and so we focus on the East Africa region. So we are saying we understand global things that are going on globally, but also locally here in Africa. And so what we say is what differentiates Regal Africa from all other wealth managers out there is really because we listen, we understand, and we advise our clients accordingly. We say we keep our clients first because we want to be our clients' wealth partners. And for us at Regal, and for me specifically, I'm always telling people that you work so hard to build your business, to build your career, and then after that, what's next, right? So why you do what you do is very important, and knowing what's next is really the key here, and that's what leaving a legacy is all about. So it's not easy to build your vision, especially for most business people because they are the vision bearers, and it takes time, it takes dedication, takes sacrifice. So once you've put all that, you want to be able to transition it to the next generation. So that's why wealth management is very important for everybody. And we say that the way this happens is if you have a mental shift, for anyone to be wealthy, they need to really be able to think abundant. You really have to be able to say, I'm going to be disciplined, I'm going to create my wealth incrementally. It's not going to happen all at once. It's step by step, step by step. And so for when you're looking at wealth management in general, you still really have to say the service that you're going to get is really high level professional service. You're really going to focus on financial and investment advice, tax planning, retirement planning. But the key here, which I'll be talking about really is around estate planning, because if you don't do estate planning, you'll not be able to leave an effective legacy. So at Regal Africa, we do three core things. We do wealth planning, wealth structuring, and wealth advisory. And we specialize in a couple of plans. We talk about entrepreneurs, executives, professionals, and creatives. When we are providing this private wealth management service, which is very premium service, we really talk to our clients and assist them to attain their lifetime wealth plan. So we always start by where are you and where do you want to go? And what is your lifetime vision? Because that's very, very, very important. And then what we do is we deliver expertise and we help our clients make the right financial decision. Again, we provide global thinking informed by deep local insight, and then we come up with strategies for our clients. And as wealth advisors, we basically help our clients organize the data, communicate the data to our clients and their key advisors. And then we keep track of making sure that our clients really are implementing whatever strategies that are put in place. Real quick, the wealth planning process is just four steps, right? First of all, we have to discover, right? Because like I mentioned, you have to know where you are to be able to make a plan of where you want to go. So the first step is really discovering where the client is, developing a plan with the client, helping the client plan, implement the plan, and then continuous review, because everybody knows with life, things happen, so you have to be constantly reviewing any plan that you might have. So with the wealth management, for people who are looking to build a legacy, especially through their business, we look at it two ways. You have to manage your personal finance, and you also have to manage your business, right? So for the individual part, which is your personal finance, we basically focus on what's going on personally, right? Understanding your financial network all the way to estate planning. It's an 8-step process. And then also we look at if you are very ultra wealthy, we actually offer what we call multifamily office so that we can be able to help our clients really ensure this continuation of wealth creation, and it's a very bespoke service. For us, we say the goal is for us, our clients to really focus on their core business and do what they love to do, and then we assist them in managing their wealth so that they can enjoy the lifestyle that they want to do. And real quick, we really go through the financial planning, so really the wealth aspect. And then we look at strategy, we look at governance, and then advisory with other advisors. When it comes then now to the business itself, for most business owners, they really are focused on really growing the business. And so for us, we say, okay, once you've grown your business and now you are taking things to the next level, you want somebody to be able to make sure that they help you on that journey. Again, the same thing we do for you personally, we do it for your business, all the way from understanding your financial net worth in regards to your business, all the way to business succession planning. And it's also an 8-step process. At the end of it all, once you've done all the work, you've put in blood, sweat, and tears, as I put it, I always say you want to leave a legacy, right? And so when you're talking about legacy, there are two aspects to it. There is legacy of wealth, which is the money you leave behind for the next generation. But there's also the legacy of purpose, which I think is very important. The legacy of purpose is the impact that you'd have actually done for the community that you serve. Because I always say as business people, you're really providing a solution, a good or a service that is going to be used by the community at large. So when you're looking at legacy, you have to look at those two aspects. And for that, I always say, what would you like to be remembered for, right? What impact are you going to leave in the community? Money is very important because it's an enabler so that you have the resources to do good in the community. But then what you do with that is also very important. So when you decide what legacy you want to have in place, when you have achieved your lifetime goals, by putting this strategy in place, then now estate planning is going to be really key because it will ensure that your wishes and your dreams are actualized. And then you can now start making a difference in the lives of other people outside your family. So for that, I always say you always have to find a passion project that you come into, philanthropy work that you want to work around. And this leaving of this legacy is really going to educate the next generation of the family, of your family members, to be able to continue with the values that you really hold dear to yourself. So that's what I say is the road to success. And this is the last slide before I start asking questions. And I'm going to say this for me personally, when I think about what legacy I'm going to have and the work that we do at Ripple Africa, I always say that I always encourage people to look at their work as a bigger picture, just like I do, and that you have to do the right thing to matter in this world. So as I mentioned earlier, my passion is wealth creation for all and Africa economic development. And for me personally, I'm on a mission to make sure that I'm able to transform families, transform communities, and impact nations. So my question for you would be, what will be your legacy? And there's a quote here by Susie Orman, who's a personal finance advisor who I really look up to. And this is what she says: if you clear the path for your money to flow and grow, you will leave a powerful legacy for generations to come.
Wow. Right? This sounds amazing. And well done for the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
So given that at the moment the world is going through this terrible pandemic and we're facing very difficult times, the way we used to invest seems very idealistic and seems like something that would have worked a couple of months ago. As a wealth management advisor, what would you advise a business owner at this moment where you put your money away in investments, but the global markets are crashing and your business, you're uncertain whether it's going to be opening or not in the next couple of months? What advice would you give them in terms of legacy building? What does legacy building look like right now?
Okay. The first thing I would say is you should not be reactionary, right? Mm-hmm. These are trying times. This caught everybody by surprise. I don't think anybody saw this coming. Mm-hmm. But if you actually had the right advisors, you probably would have been actually doing things and diversifying your portfolio so you are not concentrated in one thing. Mm-hmm. So yes, business is one thing and it will be affected. But I also have clients who have money in the money markets, who have money in fixed income, who have money in places that even with this crisis, they're still making money, right? Mm-hmm. So what I would tell different people who are going through this challenging time, if your money, for example, is in the stock market, don't remove it because you're doing it at the wrong time, right? Wait this out because there will be a recovery. Mm-hmm. So just stick to the plan that you had. But if you have money lying around in a bank doing nothing, or I don't know, under the mattress or something like that, that is where now you should actually be looking at the opportunities out there. You really need 0%. Can I put it in something that is, I can make some money and also I can easily access it? Because we also don't know how long COVID-19 will happen, right? So we also need to make sure that we have liquid money. So you don't want to tie it up in something long term. So you need to actually look at your portfolio again and say, okay, what do I let to continue going and what can I do to make sure that the extra money that I have is earning good money for me?
Okay. What type of short-term investments would you personally at this moment invest in? Or look at investing in?
Okay, so short term, it goes back to money market funds. Mm-hmm. And if you know you're not gonna need it for, let's say, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, put it into something fixed income. For example, here in Kenya, you're getting 9, 10, 11% in money market funds per annum, right? Fixed income, you can do the same thing. If you put that money in the bank, you get 0%. If you put that money other places, you could probably lose it. So I would probably be looking at working with professional licensed fund managers to put your money into that short term.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've got a question coming through from somebody in the audience that are saying that you mentioned an abundance mindset. How do we keep one in the midst of such an unprecedented recession?
I would say follow me on my social media. My handle is Anne Gaita, but that's on a lighter note. It is very hard, especially it's just human nature when we're going through hard times that we just see the negative. But I keep telling people it is during these times of crisis that opportunities are brought about. I'm Christian, so what I do or what has been actually giving me the ability to just keep smiling and knowing there are better days ahead is the fact that I read my Bible, right? I'm also very good at following different people who are motivational speakers. I have a coach. I'm going through a program right now called The Audacity to Be Queen. What I'm doing is that I'm trying to make the time that I have, I use it and surround myself with positive-minded people and great things so that I am not focused on just COVID and the sickness and all the negativity that's happening. Because if you focus on just that, then guess what? All you will see is problems. So for back to about the abundance mindset, you always have to surround yourself with good energy. You have to be able to be intentional in getting the right kind of information that is going to make sure that you can balance it out. Because I believe in seasons. This is a very bad season, but it will end. It will end. So that's what I always say. Think positive thoughts, surround yourself with positive people, and you shall overcome.
Okay. I think, Nike, you have a couple of questions for Anne. And from everybody who's joined us this evening, if you can just go to the bottom of your screens, you should have a chat function. You can just type in any questions that you may have for her also, and we will pass them on for her to answer during this live. Nike?
Yes. So you spoke about having a family vision. Why is that important?
I always say vision comes first. If you are looking to create wealth, if you have a family business and you do not have a vision of how that looks like, right, then you will most probably not succeed. So having a vision is very important because you have to then say, okay, this is where I am. This is the vision that I want to achieve. And then now say, what are the steps that I need to take to ensure that I reach that vision, right? And so I always say, once you have a vision in place, you put the plan in place, then you start working towards that and everything will open. The universe will find a way. You'll find the right type of people. But having a vision is very important. And I always say this, especially in family business. The vision bearer, who is the person who started the business, had a vision of what they want. So with them knowing clearly what they want and having clarity about that, they're able then to articulate it to the rest of the family members who will then now be able to follow them. If the person who started the business does not have a vision, then how will the rest of the next generation continue with that? They can't because they don't know where they're going. So that's why vision is very important in anything that you do, whether it's family business or your own personal vision.
And in a context, bringing it back home to now with the pandemic and in instances where, you know, we're all kind of in crisis, how do you advise families to continue to build strong families in this type of a season and to have that common vision? You may have had a vision prior to the pandemic and that vision might not apply currently. What are your thoughts on that, on how families can still, you know, create that rallying point, that common vision, one, and course correct to a vision that's applicable to today's reality?
Okay. I would say the vision should not change in crisis and in good time. It should not change. What happens is the process or how you maneuver to actually get to the end goal. I believe, and that's why I'm very excited to be actually here talking to the audience. The fact is, I believe this is the right time that families should be meeting and having these discussions. Usually, everyone is so busy. Everyone is busy making money. Everyone is busy with their friends. Everybody's busy doing everything that they need to do. But then now we've been put in a situation where you're forced to stay home. you're forced to be able to sit down and actually only do what you can in the house. And I believe this is the right moment that families should be having that discussion and say, okay, this is what we are. We are a family. This is what we are all about. Now, what can we do about it? So I believe this is the right time that people should be actually having these discussions, should be strategizing, figuring out what hasn't worked before, how do we fix that? Who are the people that we need to be talking to make sure that we actualize the vision? So this, to me, like I said, it's all about looking at it on the other side. I think this is the right time that families should be having this discussion uninterrupted.
Okay. And you spoke about the wealth circle. Can you just elaborate on what that is?
So for me, when I look at creating wealth, building wealth as a family, I look at it in three parts, which is really 360 circle. The first thing is really wealth accumulation. So the first generation of people who create wealth are busy building it, right? So it's about wealth accumulation. You're building businesses, you're investing in other different asset classes, you're really accumulating wealth. Now, once that gets done, when now you start looking at how do we build a family wealth and legacy, then now you need to go to the next step, which is now the wealth management aspect. You've accumulated this wealth, now you have to manage this wealth, which is earlier what I was saying. If you managing your wealth, there are certain plans you put in place that should not change. You need to be able to tell, I have put some of this money, I've taken it away from my business, I'm putting it into these alternative asset classes so that I can be able to generate additional returns outside my business profit. So you've moved from accumulation to wealth management. After wealth management, then the third step is wealth transfer. This is where, especially us as Africans, lose it, right? Someone has built wealth, they've been able to manage their wealth, but then when it comes to now wealth transfer to the next generation is where now we don't necessarily do the right thing. Usually by the time, and I was looking at statistics, it's only 10% or 30% of family business move to the second and the third generation. By the time it comes to the fourth generation, it's only 3%. And the reason is the wealth transfer is not done well. So that's the whole wealth cycle. So when I'm looking, talking to families, I tell them, you got it right with the wealth accumulation. You can handle the wealth management, but what about the wealth transfer? What are you doing this for? And can you see with the plans that you have in place, do you see this wealth going and reaching up to the fourth generation? So I think people should really look at that whole cycle of wealth and make sure that they're doing the right thing.
How has that cycle impacted in today's world with the pandemic? Are we going to expect less wealth transfers? Are we going to expect less wealth accumulation? How do you see that cycle in this current corona world that we're in?
I think in this current pandemic, what we will see is that the growth of wealth, depending on how, on what kind of business you are, you will see that either your wealth has gone down or it's gone up. So this is a time when, you know, things will happen in this season. I mentioned earlier what you need to do is that extra money you need to do, put it in investments that you're not going to lose money. Now, the wealth transfer, what I do see is if families have not put in a will in place, they don't have trust in place, they have been running a business that was, the shareholding was not done right in regards to the family. This is the problem that we are going to see in the part of wealth transfer, because we don't know, nobody knows who is infected or if they will survive this disease or not. And if, God forbid, they do not, someone passes away and everything is under their name and they have not put the right structures in place for the wealth transfer, that is where we're going to have problems, because then you will have lack of continuation of the business, probably goes into probate for years, there will not be continuity. So I think that to me is what I keep telling families, that they need to focus on the wealth transfer and the structures for that.
Okay. So do you have any tips for them to protect against that eventuality? Like, what steps can families be taking right now? Sorry, Sissy, were you about to say something?
Yes, please go ahead. I will ask the question just after you finish.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, you mentioned like the worst case scenario. So as family businesses, what can we be doing right now to ensure that wealth protection in this season? What can we be doing?
What you can be doing is really looking at your advisors as the family, right? Like I said, this is the best time that families should be having these discussions. So then now you go in, and I mentioned earlier the 8-step process that we have. If, for example, you've been accumulating wealth, or you've started a new business or bought a new asset, and you do not have the beneficiaries in place, don't have a trust in place, now you should be talking to your lawyer, your family lawyer, and saying, how do I make sure that this is structured the right way? Right? So you need to also start talking to maybe your tax advisor around different tax things going on. Should you be leaving some of your property onshore, offshore? Basically, this is the time as families that once you know where you're going to go, then you find the right professionals who will help you. And because for me, I think this is such a very trying time. I've been saying what we need to be doing is managing family, not only wealth, but family relationships, especially in trying times like now. So does that mean you actually have, you know, counselors, coaches, people who are talking to the family in case the dynamics are not good? Who are you going to bring in place to make sure that the family dynamics are in the right place? That's what I would advise people to be doing at this time.
Okay, and we have a question from Peter, and he's asking, what is the best time or age to start succession planning, and how do you identify who is the best to take the lead?
Wow, that's a good question, right? So the time to start thinking about succession planning, I would say, is as soon as possible, right? If because you have no control of what will happen in life, right? You have no control if you will get sick, if you pass away, if you have no control of that. So you need to start thinking. And it always starts, you know, you first have to think about it before then you reach out to the person that you think is going to succeed you, or the person that you want to monitor. Because for someone to succeed, for somebody to be the next leader of the family business, you have to have watched them to see, are they capable? Historically in Africa, we've always chosen the firstborn or the male child, right? It just seems to be that's the way that everybody decided that if I have this wealth, this estate, the person who will manage it is the first boy child. But if they don't have the capacity to be the right person to lead the family, then they should not be the one who are, in my opinion, allowed to take that mantle. So as a family, you need, and as the leader, you need to actually have identified who you think who has the capability to do that. And once you identify who that is, then you need to start mentoring them. And it's a process. So you have to start showing them how things are done in the family and actually giving them leadership positions so that they can actually take over the family business or the family estate. So it starts early. And then once you're pretty sure that this is the person who will take over, because things happen, then now you can actually have it in writing, bring the family on board to say, you know what, anything that happens, these are my wishes, that this person will take over. So it takes time. I don't think it's a one-time thing, but it's a process. I hope I answered you well, Peter.
We have another question from Shaya. Africa has a lot of policy somersault. How do you plan, project, or invest in such an economy?
Sorry, you sort of went off. Can you repeat that question again?
Shaya says, Africa has a lot of policy somersaults, i.e. we don't stick to our policies. Okay. How do you plan, project, or invest in such an economy?
Risk management, right? In life, you can never tell what what's going to happen, and in regards to policies, I'm assuming government policies, in regards to businesses. I really believe in risk management. So even when anyone is doing a family business, I always say you do not want to focus on just one business. Say, for example, you are in the real estate business and that's what your family is known for. You also have to diversify. So you also have to be able to have interest in other other industries, because if the real estate industry is affected and there's no business going on, then you do not want to be in a bad situation, right? So you have to be able to mitigate those risks and be able to look at your business portfolio and say, okay, we are known for this industry, but how do I make sure that I'm also in other industries that then either whether I'm managing them directly or I am just an investor, to make sure you manage your risk. But you cannot control what government is going to do. But the other things, I mean, we always talk about asset protection when we're talking about wealth creation. So would there be some kind of insurance that you can put in place? What else can you do? So you have to now sit down with a wealth advisor who would look at scenario you're talking about and then be able to see how best for you and your family to navigate that.
You spoke a lot about the importance of family relationships and legacy and things. How do we manage and cultivate strong family relationships in the context of a crisis? There's a lot of underlying anxiety and stress that we're all going through all over the world, right? Everybody has different feelings about this pandemic, right? How do we ensure that, we continue to build these strong family relationships in the context we're in currently?
I believe in any kind of relationship, communication is key, right? So really communicating, and that's what I was saying, having those family talks, having those discussions is very important. Also, as a family, you already know people's personalities, right? So also, as you are building this relationship in this trying time, you also have to look at each person's personality. There are some people who, at this point, they are just, this is not the time that they want to maybe discuss a lot, right? There are some people, this is the time they're trying to open up their everything that they...
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, I think we've lost Anne.
Yes, I think her internet probably crashed there. We can just wait a couple of minutes, I think, to see if she's going to rejoin us, and in that time we can try to sum up some of the things that she was mentioning, like the importance of succession planning, as well as looking at wealth management and wealth planning as a holistic thing instead of looking at it as a one-sided thing.
The importance of legacy of purpose as well, and how if we transform families, we transform businesses, and that impacts on nations. That's a really interesting perspective.
Yes.
Let me try.
Okay. Does anyone else in the audience have any questions that you still would like to ask Anne, just in case we get her back in the next few minutes? If you can just type in at the bottom of your screen there, you will find either the Q&A or you will find the chat screen. Either one, you can just send us through the question and we will get her to answer it the moment we get her back online. I think we've got one that has just come through from Peter. Hopefully Anne will join us just now to be able to answer this question. Hi everybody, we are still just waiting to see if Anne is going.
Hello.
Yeah. Hey, we had lost you there.
I apologize. I don't want to say this is Africa, but the lights just went off. Okay. Maybe we'll just have to you know, do another session, maybe, you know, because I think we lost about 10 minutes, and maybe I can answer more questions some other time. But I think
you
we
have
can
some. You have some questions.
Back on.
You do have.
I'm back on right now.
You have some interesting questions.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I think, Nikki, you can share the two questions that are available.
Yes. So from Peter, he says, family business tend to have a lot of politics and power games that tend to be counterproductive. This could even be more at this time of crisis. How do we manage such?
Family politics. Just like in any business or in any time where there's leadership and control and money, there's always different ways of maneuvering that. And I think that's why it goes back to me. I believe that family and the parents or whoever the vision bearers are, you need to be very careful about this whole family politics, right? And if it starts from a very young age whereby the relationships of the children are whereby they look at each other as not only as families, because, you know, family, you cannot choose your family, but as friends. If you start looking at each other as family and friends, you will want the best for your siblings, right? So there will be no that animosity. There will not that be trying to have one on top of the other. You want to be supporting your brother or your sister, or in this case, if it's, you know, an extended family. So if you, I always say this, if you start seeing that there are issues with the family and politics and undercutting and backstabbing, then now you need to bring probably a professional, an outside person, you know, a counselor, I don't know if you're Christian or pastor, or somebody outside who can actually sit down with the family and be able to show them that when you are politicking, when you're doing this or bringing negative energy into this family business, you are doing a disservice to yourself and the generations to come. Because if you have those kind of dynamics, what happens is the family business or the family estate will not be as successful as it would be, which means then you will not be as wealthy mm-hmm. as you want to be, which means then you cannot be able to do your legacy project. So basically with you doing, having that bad character will actually affect your future. So people need to understand why they shouldn't do that. But I believe it always starts with the parents. If the parents, the mother, father, understand their children and be able to bring them up in a way whereby there's good communication, you find less and less fights. But the reality is there are fights. So bring, like I said, a professional who can be able to manage that if you cannot do it, you know, internally.
Another question from Kwame. I want to find out from Anne, how wealth management in a second generation family business can be done.
Okay, so in second generation, what has happened is the first generation accumulated the wealth, and then now it's second generation. Now, that is why I was talking earlier about communication. You have to actually understand, when my parents started this business, or when they started building this estate, which would then come to us to manage, what was their vision? And then you also have to remember that they come old school. The way they did business back in the day is very different from how we do business now. So I think the part of actually communicating with the parents, actually showing them that, you know what, there are new ways of doing things, right? And it's kind of hard, especially most business owners who started business are probably controlling, they're one-sided. And as Africans, it's very hard to talk to your parents to tell them to change. But you have to continuously having that discussion with them. I'll give you a personal example. So for me, I have a family business, dad and mom company called Gummy Enterprises back in 1982. Me and my siblings always laugh about it because it was incorporated about 6 days before my sister was born, my younger sister was born. And my parents started that business because they realized that they needed extra income from what they were making, because at that time they were working for government. And so when I was growing up, my parents were working, but they also had a business. Now, as time has grown and there were different businesses in there, my mom does events. And when I started working with her in doing events, she had one way of doing things. And because I couldn't change about how to make things a certain way, I decided I would choose my battles and just do what she cannot do. So as a second generation business person, you have to find the parts of the business that your parents cannot, especially in this season whereby you're looking at using of technology. Your parents cannot do that. In regards to strategy and global thinking, your parents cannot do that. So you need to actually sit down with your parents and train them the value that you're bringing on board. Because when they see that you can do something better than they can, then they will start giving you that opportunity to take on the reins of the business. And it all, for me, it all comes down and you show the value that you can bring, because a lot of parents, when I've talked to them, they're afraid that if second generation take over the business, they will not be as successful because probably they know their children. So I would say with second generation, you have to keep proving yourself and adding value into the business. So then there was smooth transfer of that.
Cool. And we have another question from Timmy Topper. What is the best approach to convince my brothers to join hands with me to build a good family business?
I missed that. What is the best way to convince your brothers to do what?
To join hands with him or her to build a good family business. That would be our last question.
Okay. Okay. So that means that they are not already in business. Okay. Now, that's an interesting one, because already in business and you want your family to start a business. I think the best thing that you need to do is actually know what kind of business that you think the family should get. Actually come up with a great plan. Because if you have a great plan that you can be able to then articulate to your family that, look, if you spend your time, your money and losses to build this business, this is what it's going to do. It's going to improve our lives. It's going to improve our children's lives. So once you show people value of why they should get into a business, then they will join in. But I always say they do not want to join in. That's fine. You start the business with the family members that want to start the business. And when people see results that you're actually making money, then they'll join in. So the first thing is just having a plan in place, convince them, because everyone wants money. And then once you do that, then you can bring them on board. Also, I also say you also know the family dynamics, which means that you have to also know who in the family is able to turn get that part of your ally. So if they're your ally and they believe in your project, they'll be able to talk to the rest of the family who will make sure that everyone is on board.
And thank you so much for joining us today and for giving us this wealth of knowledge. I am sure that everybody who's managed to attend this session has learned so much. I think what we will do also is we will put links to your company website and so on in the upcoming newsletter that will go out tomorrow for the session that's coming tomorrow. And everybody can then get hold of you from there. You mentioned you had social media. Can you please share with us your social media platforms?
Okay, so our social media platforms, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on LinkedIn, YouTube. For the company, it's at Regal Africa, which is the company name, which is R-E-G-A-L Africa, A-F-R-I-C-A. But you can also follow me, A-N-N-E-G-A-I-T-H-A. I'm also on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. So if you follow us on social media, you'll be able to see the great things that we're doing. I'd also have to say that we are in the process of starting a program which we're calling Creating Generational Wealth. The gentleman who was asking about what you can do, how he can convince his family into a family business, that might be a great program to go in, whether you are in business or not in business, because we look at how do you start from where you are currently to where you go, and how do you create generational wealth. It's a 2-month program. And so if anyone wants more information about that, you can email us at wealth@regalafrica.co.ke.
Thank you very much, Anne, for all your generosity of your expertise. That was a really interesting session. And thank you everyone for hopping on live for this. The replay links will be available in tomorrow's newsletter. So should you want to watch this again, you can. And there'll be the announcement for tomorrow's session, which will be live. So watch out for that. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a good Easter Sunday.